So, today, I told you that we are going to have, not a long one, but the most unusual Easter sermon I believe you've ever heard. So I have entitled it Pascha 2023 Christ Descent. You should know already, Pascha is the Greek word for Passover, which is the early Christian word for Easter. Easter is came from Europe. Once Christianity spread there, let's go back to the earliest name was Pascha. So that's what I'm going to use for today. And I'm going to talk about what did Jesus do between Friday and Sunday? Because I'm going to convince you that the greatest ministry trip that Jesus ever had was not when he was wandering around Galilee or Jerusalem or wherever he was wandering around in his 3 years of ministry. But the greatest ministry trip Jesus ever did was between his death and his resurrection. And yet, who talks about the greatest ministry trip Jesus ever took? And we are standing today in victory because of what he did on Friday, what he did on Saturday and Sunday. Of course, he rose from the dead. We know that. We're celebrating that today. He was on the planet for another 40 days before he ascended. And then, of course, we know 10 days after that, on Pentecost, the Spirit came, right? This is all part of this great drama. And I want to quote the Apostles' Creed to start because in the second century, this was a confession of faith that was used at baptism. And it starts like this. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate. We saw that yesterday when we were watching the Passion. Was crucified, died, and was buried. And here's the line. Here's the money line today. He descended to the dead, or literally to the lower, is the Greek word. And then he rose again from the dead on the third day. So why would it be that in one of the earliest confessions of faith, why do they include that he descended to the dead? There's a bunch of Protestant theologians that want to actually take that out of the creed. They're like, why is it even in there? They don't even know what went on. They would rather remove it because they never preach on it. They never talk about it. But like I said, we cover things in this church that you're not going to get in other places. So let me read Acts 2. I have some scriptures and then I have some quotes from early church fathers. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by death. For David says concerning this, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades. That's where Jesus went, to Hades. Or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. He, David, foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Remember what witnesses are? Martyrs. This was Peter, right? Preaching with great boldness after his baptism of boldness that Natalie spoke about a couple of weeks ago. So where do we get this line that's in the creed? It comes from Ephesians 4:9. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. That's where we get this line in the creed. 1 Peter 3:18-19. I want you to see it's in the scripture so clearly. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed or preached to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah. He went down and he preached, or he proclaimed to spirits in prison. Now, there's some confusion when people interpret these passages, because he did two things when he went down. There's a part of Hades that is where people, once you die, that's where you go. And I don't need to get into the doctrine of Hades, but this idea that you die and you go to heaven, heaven is still yet future. The part of Hades where believers go is called Abraham's bosom, or paradise. When Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he did not mean today you'll be with me in the New Jerusalem, which was yet future. Today you'll be with me in the part of Hades where we go when we, to live as Christ, to die as gain, but to be present with the Lord. Jesus is there. Today you'll be with me in paradise, right? So anyway, there's two things that he did, and I'm going to explain this. The very lowest part of the underworld is called the abyss. It's called the abyss. Another word is Tartarus. We'll see that and it's where the Titans in Greek mythology are being held in chains, right? The fallen angels that fell in Genesis chapter 6 are being held there. And part of Jesus' ministry trip was to go to them and tell them that he won. To tell them that they're not going to keep people in death locked up, but that he had the key. He was given the keys to death, right? He is the key. And so Satan thought he had won. When they put Jesus to death, he thought he won. But if they had known, it says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They had no idea that he was going down to the dead to announce his victory to the fallen angels, that where will they be thrown in the future? Into the lake of fire, which it says is created for the devil and his angels. No, he went down there to declare to them, "I won. I won." And all these people here in the underworld, all these people in Hades that have yet, they are hearing the gospel now, and they are being transferred into the kingdom of light, and you lost. And then he rose from the dead to seal the deal, raised. And where does he live? He ascended to the Father, and he lives to intercede for us. It was a victory lap. It was a victory lap when he went down there. It's crazy. So how do I know that those spirits in prison is not talking about people? Well, one, it talks about the days of Noah. And it says, almost without exception, this is a commentary, in the New Testament, spirits, plural, refers to supernatural beings rather than to people. The word prison is not used elsewhere in Scripture as a place of punishment after death for human beings, while it is used for Satan in Revelation 20 and other fallen angels, 2 Peter 2:4, Jude 6, I'll read those in a second. In this case, the message Christ proclaimed is almost certainly one of triumph. He didn't go down to try to convert those fallen angels. He went down there to proclaim to them the gospel of victory. I won. I'm the Lord. Guess what? I'm Yahweh in the flesh. And of course, when Jesus went into the underworld, he didn't take his body with him. That was in the tomb. He went as a spirit. And then he brought his body back. And now when he comes back with his body. And he has his body right now. Anyway, 2 Peter 2:4 says this, "For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into Tartarus," that's where these spirits in prison are, "and committed them to what? To chains, of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment. Jude says it this way, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains until gloomy darkness, until the judgment of the great day. So, 1 Peter 4:6, for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. So these are two different things. There's the spirits in chains that Jesus went down to and did a big face plant and said, I won, I have the keys, and you lost. And then it says the gospel was preached also to those who are dead. You ever wondered about all those people that lived before Jesus? How were they going to hear about him? Jesus met with them personally and preached the gospel to them. That's what happened. You know, unbelievers. What about those that have never heard? Or what about those that lived before Jesus or whatever? They all heard. And you're gonna see that now. So I'm going to walk through some of the early church fathers in the second and third century that talked about this ministry trip that I'm, some of you are like, I don't know if I'm sure that that's true. That was this really, what went on? Well, you're going to hear from not those that were second and third generation Christians and fourth, what they believed about the descent, why they confessed it in their creed. So, in the second century, an early Christian leader named Melito said this, Christ rose from the place of the dead, and he raised up the race of Adam from the grave below. The earliest quote we have shows he went down there to raise up the race of Adam from below. You have all these quotes, by the way. Anyway, Irenaeus, the great apologist, second century, the Lord was made the first begotten of the dead, receiving into his bosom the ancient fathers, he has regenerated them into the life of God. So, not only did those who had never heard and got a chance to hear the gospel get a chance to hear it, but all of the saints of the Old Testament got to understand that the fulfillment of their faith is in Christ. So, when you go up to Abraham, he knows the gospel now because it was given to him in fullness when Jesus huddled with the fathers and he explained to them, hey, by the way, I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. I'm the God-man. I'm the Savior of the world. They only saw shadows. They got all of the revelation. They're part of the great cloud of witnesses now, right? Anyway, we go on. For their benefit, he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. This is also Irenaeus. To behold with his eyes the state of those who are resting from their labors. For Christ did not come merely for those who believed on him in the time of Tiberius Caesar. Nor did the Father exercise his providence only for men who are presently alive. Rather, he exercised it for all men altogether who from the beginning have both feared and loved God. Irenaeus again, it was for this reason too that the Lord descended into the regions beneath the earth, preaching his advent there also, and he declared the remission of sins received by those who believe in him. He went to preach. A lot more people had died before Jesus than he preached in 3 years on the planet. Now, we could make the argument that by now, far more people have heard about Jesus after his death, resurrection, and ascension. But more people heard about Jesus and received the gospel between Good Friday and Easter Sunday than in 3 years of his ministry. Unbelievable. But nobody ever told us this in church. Because we, descended to the dead, that sounds weird. Is that the Catholic doctrine of purgatory? No! This is the early Christian doctrine of his descent to the dead. I love it. There's one, I'll tell you maybe later about a title they have for this ministry trip. Anyway, Irenaeus also said, he gathered from the ends of the earth into the Father's fold the children who were scattered abroad, and he remembered his own dead ones, who had previously fallen asleep. He came down to them so that he might deliver them. Amazing. From what? From death. Amazing. For 3 days he dwelt in the place where the dead were. As the prophet said concerning him, and the Lord remembered his dead saints who slept formerly in the land of the dead, and he descended to them to rescue and to save them. The Lord himself said, as Jonah remained 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Irenaeus. Now there are pastors today, I don't believe what this guy's saying, argue with Irenaeus. There's no pastor alive today on the planet or theologian that holds a candle to Irenaeus, the great apologist, early church father, who did more to defend the faith against heresy than anybody maybe in church history. So anyway, I just had to say that because, you know, I got people that fight with me all the time. Why are you quoting early church fathers? These guys were the theologians. You know, Irenaeus was around the time when they came up with the word Trinity. You know, you believe in the Trinity? Oh, but you're going to disregard the guys that came up with the term? It's insane. Anyway, sorry, that was for free. The Lord preached the gospel to those in Hades. Do not the scriptures show, whoa, we got some air, show that the Lord preached the gospel to those who perished in the flood, or rather had been chained, as to those kept in ward and guard? And it has been shown also, now this is an amazing thing, it says, the apostles following the Lord preached the gospel to those in Hades as well. So after the apostles died, they got to get in on some apostolic ministry there as well. I don't know how that works, but that's what Clement of Alexandria is telling us here. Following the Lord, preach the gospel to those in Hades. If then the Lord descended to Hades for no other reason but to preach the gospel, as he did ascend, it was either to preach the gospel to all or else to the Hebrews only. If accordingly he preached to all, then all who believe will be saved on making their profession there, even though they may be Gentiles. For God's punishments are saving and disciplinary, leading to conversion. He desires the repentance rather than the death of a sinner. This is especially so since souls also, although darkened by passions, when released from their bodies are able to perceive more clearly, for they are no longer obstructed by the paltry flesh. Did not the same dispensation obtain in Hades? For even there, all the souls, on hearing the proclamation, could either exhibit repentance or confess that their punishment was just because they did not believe. And it was not arbitrary that they could obtain either salvation or punishment. For those who had departed before the coming of the Lord had not had the gospel preached to them. So they had been given no opportunity to either believe or to not believe. A couple more quotes. Also Clement of Alexandria. This is about 195 AD. He preached the gospel to those in the flesh so that they would not be condemned unjustly. So how is it conceivable that he did not for the same reason preach the gospel to those who had departed this life before his coming? Hades is not supposed by us to be a bare cavity, nor some subterranean sewer of the world. Rather, it is a vast deep space in the interior of the earth. For we read that Christ in his death spent 3 days in the heart of the earth. He did not ascend into the heights of heaven before descending into the lower parts of the earth. This was so that he might there in Hades make the patriarchs and the prophets partakers of himself. Tertullian, the man who gave us the word Trinity. 210 AD. Couple more quotes. Christ is Lord of things under the earth because he was also reckoned among the dead. For he preached the gospel to the souls of the saints. Through death he overcame death. Hippolytus. John the Baptist also first preached to those in Hades, becoming a forerunner there when he was put to death by Herod. It's unbelievable. The whole early church knew that they got to preach here and there. John the Baptist was beheaded by, I missed this when I was preparing the sermon. John the Baptist was down there. Hey guys, somebody's going to be here in just a short time, you know, as he's carrying around his head, right? You know? But you know, imagine, he's like, my cousin's coming, and guess who my cousin is? God in the flesh. And you guys are going to get, you know, I mean, hey, you don't believe my message? He'll be down here in just a bit, right? It's unbelievable. There's so much we miss, right? Anyway, becoming a forerunner there when he was put to death by Herod. So even there too, John revealed that the Savior would descend to ransom the souls of the saints from the hand of death. Jesus paid with his blood on the cross, not just for those living and those of us after, but everyone who lived before as well. Christ delivered the first man on earth from the lowest Hades when he was lost and bound by the chains of death. This is he who was to become the preacher of the gospel to the dead, Hippolytus. Three more quotes, and we'll land the plane. The jailers of Hades trembled when they saw him. The jailers in Hades, right? They're fallen angels down at the lowest part. The jailers and unbelievers and whatever, the jailers trembled when they saw him, and the gates of brass and the bolts of iron were broken. For look, the only begotten, God the Word, had entered Hades with a soul among souls. God the Word had entered into Hades. Right? Now, I want to take one of your favorite verses. Have you ever heard that verse that says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? That's not the word. The word is, the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. Hell is yet future. The lake of fire is not even inhabited yet. People are getting thrown into the lake of fire at the end of Revelation. It's not the gates of hell that the church, it's the gates of Hades. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Where did he go? Down to Hades, right? Down to Hades with the key. He disarmed the guards. He announced to the fallen angels, you lose. He preached the gospel, and he brought people on that day into paradise. Can you imagine the thief on the cross? He's there with Jesus, right? Today you'll be with me in paradise. He got to witness the ministry trip. I mean, he's dying the death of a criminal with Jesus. He puts his faith in the Lord Jesus on the cross, gets to see this. I don't know about you guys. There's a couple of things I want to see. The Red Sea thing, that's a big deal. I want to see that. Who doesn't want to see the video of these 3 days? This is going to be, you know, oh yeah, what about the Sermon on the Mount? People will be like, the Sermon on the Mount, that was okay. But you want to know how many people Jesus saved in 3 days in Hades? Tens of millions. His greatest ministry trip was when he was dead. But he was alive. He was disembodied. Anyway. It was the same among the dead. This is Origen, the great church father in the 3rd century. It was the same among the dead. Christ was not the only person there, but his soul was not left in Hades. And as a result, then, he is the first and the last, the firstborn from the dead. Do you know the reason we know that we will be brought back to life after we die? Because Jesus proved it's possible.
Yeah, that's right.
When he left there, they didn't know. He's like, okay, he's here. What's he going to do? Oh, crud. He's depopulating this place. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. He has the key. He's going out. Can you imagine? The resurrection of Jesus is far more glorious than we can possibly imagine. Everybody's thinking, you guys were all thinking Jesus is just laying there in a tomb. If you've been to Israel, I've been there. I've seen the garden tomb. You're thinking Jesus was just cruising in there for a couple of days. He was busy. His resurrection was far more glorious. Far more glorious. And you know, just to prove it all, I don't have this verse, but in Matthew 25, I believe it is. It's again a verse that we never heard about. When Jesus rose from the dead, 500 dead people came back to life that had their souls had been in Hades. They got their bodies and they came to life in Jerusalem and were walking around. Hey, Grandma, she's back. I mean, can you imagine? I know I mentioned that before. They were walking around to just prove that Jesus is the Lord over death and life. Yes. And that he came back to life, brought people into their bodies. Now, those people had to be disembodied again, back into paradise until Jesus returns a second time. Those people did not just keep living. They died again. Elijah's up there. What do we got? Enoch. We got Elijah. and Jesus. And Jesus is the only one. Well, no, they're all embodied, but Jesus has his resurrected body, which is different than Elijah's and Enoch's. Anyway, I'm on a tangent. Let's just end it here. Two more. Yeah. When Christ became a soul without the covering of the body, he dwelled among those souls who were also without bodily covering, and he converted those of them who were willing. Meanwhile, the last one, this guy's name is Alexander of Alexandria, right? Meanwhile, from the 4th century. Meanwhile, Hades was resplendent with light, for the star had descended to there. The star had descended to there. Who's the star? Jesus. Actually, the Lord did not descend into Hades in his body, but in his spirit. In short, he is working everywhere. For while he raised the dead by his body, by his spirit he was liberating souls. For the Lord had conquered Hades, and he had trodden down death. All right. That is the end of the Easter message. Let me just pray for us. And I told you it was going to be an unusual message. You have the notes. Lord, I thank you that not only did you die for our sins on Good Friday, but that in your justice you went and you preached the gospel to every person that had ever lived before you came to the earth, that everybody got a chance to hear your message and to believe or disbelieve the message of the cross. I thank you, God, that it was in that place that you defeated the enemies, that you ultimately, your death, your descent, your resurrection and your ascension, you defeated Satan. You disarmed his kingdom. Death had entered the world through Adam and through sin, but you came back and you overcame death, and you gave us the promise of eternal life. That we know, God, that because you died, and because you descended, and because you rose, that we too, once we go to sleep and we die in the natural, that one day our bodies and our souls will be reunited in resurrected bodies, and we will be with you forever and ever and ever and ever. And it is that we celebrate today. And we celebrate all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.